Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm here with Todd Atkins.
What?
All right, so on episode 564, right, because today's 566, on episode 564, we answered the question, what established churches can learn from church plants? Because we know as a part of our podcast community, we have established church pastors listening in, church planters listening in, multi-site church pastors listening in, and from the whole, and individuals who are discerning a call to ministry as well. We have a whole gambit of individuals listening in. Have you, do you watch the Queen's Gambit?
I did. It was awesome.
Did you play chess growing up?
No, but my kids do. And I learned very quickly when James was five, not to play James in chess.
So does he know all the space names, and does he know like all the different openings and all that too? Like the names of them?
I don't know if he knows the openings and stuff, because he doesn't really have anybody to play with. He was in a chess club for like a year.
Yeah. He doesn't have a, what was that guy's name? The custodian. He doesn't have a mentor.
No. Yeah. He doesn't have a mentor, unfortunately. So he's stuck.
Yeah.
He went over and played some kid that plays normally a couple days ago.
Do you destroy him?
So I was like, yes.
You know, I did chess club growing up, but I never learned all those different moves or anything like that. We just played. Like, it wasn't as hardcore as that. But yeah, anyways, you know, we're not endorsing the Queen's Gambit
through this episode. No, no.
Because obviously it was, you know,
if you like have TV, a problem, yeah. That's Daniel M at Beulah Alliance.
Yeah, exactly. It's the email, something like that. Anyway, so today what we wanted to talk about from that little bit of a rabbit trail is what church plants can learn from established churches. So we're flipping the script, right? Two episodes ago, we talked about what established churches can learn from church plants. But today we wanted to talk about what church plants can learn from established churches. And if you're a church planter, please don't stop thinking to yourself, you know, please don't stop the recording and be like, I don't have anything to learn, because what can I learn from established churches? Well, actually, as you'll find out in this episode,
a lot of money. Yeah,
there are a lot. So Todd, why don't you get us started?
Okay. Sorry, that was my church planning voice. Not good. Well, okay. So, you know, hey, we all know that there are stereotypical views probably of church planters from established churches and from church planters to established churches. Or did I just say the same thing twice?
It's okay. I don't know. Keep going.
You get my point.
Yeah.
There's stereotypes here, but I would say, you know, those should be put to bed really quickly, because we all know that in both environments, that there are people that are really successful, and not just successful, really people that are really faithful, and over the course of time they get to see fruit, and a lot of that fruit is seen in other churches because they just pour themselves out. So I would say, first of all, when you're looking for an established church to learn from, you need to look for one that is approachable, and I want to be really careful here, because there's systems pieces that you can learn, which lead to scalability. So when you think of the S's and the framework that we go through all the time, what you can learn from established churches is they usually have good clarity on strategy that they stick to, good clarity on their structure and systems. Now, over the course of time, those things can be detrimental. What you want to look for is an established church that that has those things in place, but you know, as Daniel said, they're not sacred cows. You want to look for a church that has continued to innovate and grow despite being established, and they've not. Man, this is so hard to explain. I mean, you know, the inertia of success causes so many churches to put it in neutral, or, you know, to just keep the same settings and not mess with anything, because the inertia of success means that, you know, we're going to continue to be successful if we continue doing the same things that we're doing. So they're scared not to move it. So the churches I'm talking about, you learning from, you know, some of them are hard to find, but you really do want to look for an established church that has had some history of innovation and ongoing innovation.
Yeah, I like the idea that we're, you know, that you're thinking about the system side of things. I think before we go a little bit more into that, I think, you know, the church plant's greatest strength can become its greatest weakness. Established church's greatest strength can become its greatest weakness. So I think anytime we rely too much on our strengths and too much on what's got us to where we are right now, you know, there's that phrase, what got you here won't get you there.
Right.
When we rely too much on that, and actually magnify and kind of celebrate the past too much, so that can actually be something that prevents us from moving forward. So for example, you know, what can church plants learn from established churches? I was going to go there too, right? The system side of things. Now, obviously there's a whole range of what a healthy and an unhealthy church plant is and what a healthy and an unhealthy established church is. So let's talk about what church plants can learn from healthy established churches. And maybe if we have time, we can go to the unhealthy side of things.
I like that. I didn't think about the learning from the unhealthy.
Yeah.
But that's a good, I like that.
So, okay. So if we just kind of start with the healthy side of things, an established church is established because they're self-sustainable. And if you're self-sustainable, one thing that you're going to have are reserves, right? You're not going to be going year over year just trying to scrape by or on debt. I mean, a healthy established church is going to be in the positive. They're not going to have debt, and they're going to actually have, and if they have debt, they're going to have reserves in case, you know, rainy day fund, right? Healthy established churches are going to have that. They're also going to have policies and procedures for staff health, right? And for staff performance and for church governance. Right, there's all these things that are just going to be developed because they're things that happen year over year and they're best practices, right? They're going to have systems in and around that. So those are just a few of the things that healthy established churches are going to have that I know for a church plant, you're like, no, but we're just going to do a staff fun time or a leadership fun time when it comes to mind. And yeah, that might work. But what if you're overloaded? And what if you don't feel like you need one, but the staff or your leadership team feels like you need one? Well, that's why some of these systems and how, what you do in different calendar points around the year are actually written into the calendar in established churches, because there's a reason they were written in the first place. Any other healthy things that church plants can learn from healthy established churches before we go to the unhealthy ones?
You kind of touched on it, but it is the, taking care of the staff. And I mean, you know, sometimes, when you stay perpetually a church plant, when I talk to some of our guys, it'll be like, I'm a church planter and you know, how old's your church? It's 12 years old. Well, you're not a church planter anymore. Yeah. And I feel like sometimes it's either a badge of honor that we don't want to give up, or it's an excuse for why we haven't, you know,
ouch,
grown up yet. Sorry, but we haven't grown up yet.
Yeah.
And one of those things would be, you know, your church office, administration, HR, you know, the things that you do that make sure that you are going to be around for a long time. Mm. And, you know, everything from having insurance, the right insurance, to the right HR, human resourcing to take care of your people, the right health insurance, you know, all of those things, they can be kicked down the road if we're not careful. And that's one of the things that an established church usually has fairly well down pat.
Yeah. And when we talk about staff, we're not talking about paid staff only. We're talking about highly dedicated volunteers and leaders. Think leadership pipeline, right? Volunteer, leader, coach, ministry director, and senior leader. I mean, anyone up and down the leadership pipeline can be paid or unpaid. It doesn't have anything to do with it. So when we're talking about staff, less, you know, if you're a solo pastor or you really, you're the only paid staff member, we're not, you know, this, we're talking about your leadership team when we reference staff. So, Todd, what do you think church plants can learn from unhealthy established churches?
The cult of personality, celebrity pastor.
Oh, wow.
Is where I would go first. Yeah. I mean, even
wow,
you don't have to have, you know, books and a radio show, to have that culture in your church. So any larger church or regional church, I mean, it doesn't even have to be 1,000 people. If it's just, you know, out, away from a major metropolitan area, any church that is, you know, 300 to 500 people, it can have a similar type of culture that yeah. is unhealthy mm-hmm. just because the pastor is known throughout the county or the municipality or whatever. And man, that's just one of the things that, you know, is really, I think, hurting the church right now, is that mindset.
Wow. I'm so glad that you brought it to that point, Todd. Because just when you look at the news, and I don't want to name names, but we see time and time again how the cult of personality or celebrity pastors are hurting the church, not just your local church, but the church, the capital C church. And what's interesting is when you look at the Old Testament, this is just human nature, right? As humans, we want a king. We want that king. That's just and inside the church we see that. Outside the church we see that, because if God is not the highest authority for you, then it's politics, then it's your president, right? It's your prime minister. It's who your leader is, and there's this cult of personality, the celebrities, right? If you're not that, you're looking at celebrities, and just as human beings, it's as a part of our sinful nature, we long for that and we desire that. But as I've been doing a lot of reading in and around that, what's fascinating is learning that it's not just the ego filled narcissistic pastor or leader that creates that. It's actually the church that allows that culture to be created. The church members have as much of a role to play in a church, in a pastor being a celebrity pastor or having that cult of personality, because it's an ecosystem where they feed into each other in that way. So if you're a member of a church, or you've been a part of a church where there has been that and there has been a big fall, well, you got to kind of own your piece of the pie too.
Well, I mean, my biggest thing is just helping guys that are listening understand it's not just a really big church. And yeah. frankly, if you're a church planter and, you know, you grow your church to over 300 almost anywhere in the country, you're going to get a taste of that yeah, because true. People are going to, you know, start asking you your opinion of everything, especially when it comes to, you know, their church plant or other church planters. It doesn't have to be a big church for that to happen. So, and I think it can happen even faster in church planting is why I say watch out for that.
Yeah. That's so good. That's so good. So, you know what? Thanks again for listening in. And there's something that we touched on in this episode that we're going to continue on in episode 568 and onwards. We're going to be talking about the systems that we need to make sure that we have in place for a post-COVID church. So we're going to go back to that theme and really talk about systems that we need to ensure that are in place and how to make sure to do that. We're going to take it one at a time per episode. So be sure to subscribe if you haven't yet done so. And if there's a particular system that you want us to dig a little bit deeper in, just send that in at speakpipe.com/newchurches. If you're on your mobile device or if you're on your computers, just go to newchurches.com, getting that mixed up, and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. Thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.